Hello and welcome to the Open Goal podcast in association with our friends at William Hill. It's keeping the ball on the ground. We're back. We've had a 4-week winter break. Si Ferry, you've kept a decent shape, by the way, I have to say. You've kept a decent shape considering you've been on that bench for 4 weeks at Peterhead. You've actually managed not to, you're looking not too bad at all. Cheers. And alongside you, we've got two brilliant guests. They're back. The Hoddit and Doddit of Scottish football, the Morecambe and Wise, the Cannon and Ball, or as somebody says, it's more like the Richard and Judy.
He does look like Judy, didn't he? Don't in the frying pan.
Just check Big Kevin's shopping trolley before he leaves. It's Paul Slane and Kevin Kyle. They're back, the dynamic duo. Simon, how good is it? Kick off 2019.
Two top men,
the two of them beside you.
Me and Slaney have shared a few things, but I'm delighted I'm sharing a mic with him today.
Aye.
Remember that thing we shared a couple of Saturdays ago?
Can't go into that. Cannot go into that.
It was a night out.
Ended up back at Slaney's man's house.
Oh, yeah. She's listening to me.
George, I'm sorry.
Dear Slaney, back to the head of tennis. It was brilliant, Kev. What a response we had to the head of tennis, Scott McDonald. Won it, but more importantly, how was Mrs. Lee McCulloch's Christmas turkey?
Well, I've not actually heard from Big Jig since it.
Has he bombed you?
He's absolute bombed us. He's not reading any of my messages or anything, so I'm absolutely gutted. I tried second best with Scott McDonald to try get to his. He patched us as well, so I ain't interested in talking
ended
to you.
Ended up at Kenny Branigan's.
By the way, I must say, Kenny, I must apologise because my arrogance in the game I played towards him was shocking and he deserved to win. My dad always taught me when you do your talking on the pitch, and with Kenny Branigan, I done it after the pitch and he beat me and I deserved to get beat. Well done, Kenny Branigan, and I hope you have a great 2019. And you're a great player as well, Strindmark. What a player.
What about how were the festive fixtures? Si, you know the War League's not the luxury of the winter break.
I had some of the best days of my life on the party bus during the Christmas festive. Right. Dale Lyles, her man, he brought the Buckfast on the bus after the games. We got beat for Clyde. Clyde are brilliant, to be fair. Battered us.
2-1.
2-1. And then we beat Albion Rovers on Saturday. So if we win more game in hand, we go top of the league. So.
Did we win at Cloughton Hill 2-0?
It was
Saturday,
Albion Rovers, much improved. Kevin Harper's done well with them. Yeah. We played them at the start of the season, and no being harsh, but they were hopeless. But Saturday they were good. He's got them organised and he's got a good few players in, so I think Albion Rovers might stay up.
Did you nick along to Guidi's restaurant just
after that? Yours, Mark,
that's my cousin's, aye.
Is Carlos, it really? No way.
20% discount you get in there, big man.
And Cloughton Hill, my old stomping ground, I was there way back in season 92-93. Paul, they named a pie stand at Cloughton Hill after me. Is it still there? Is it still
there,
going?
Mate,
still get old steak and Kiddly pie. Did you say Kiddly? No, I did. Right, anyway, there we go. Did you not like that one? No.
Your ma, he drew your head.
I thought it was a real pie.
Chicken legs, no?
Oh, it's an old joke. But Kevin, you had a busy festive period as well, I'm sure. What was the biggest tip that you got in the taxis for the drunken passengers?
I don't know. Actually, I took a boy one night. I got a boy going to, where was he going to? Some bit away doing like South Lanark. We by Motherwell. Can't remember the place.
Carlisle.
Don't even know. I got up there anyway, we got there and obviously it's, I work with a cashless system, so he tried to hand me a tenner and. I said, no, pal, you keep that. I said, you enjoy yourself tomorrow when you need a wee KFC or a McDonald's to get rid of this hangover you're going to have. So that was about the only tip I got. But festivities is always a busy time. But I was actually in hospital. I had appendicitis on Boxing Day. I had a great Christmas day, and then went down to Stranraer Christmas afternoon with the kids. And then my brother-in-law, big Jamie Adams, he plays with Ale.
Big game for them on Saturday.
So me, Jamie and Stephen, his brother, sitting in the house Christmas night, and we just had a couple of bottles of Grey Goose doing this, and I woke up the next day and I felt like a Grey Goose.
No, I was going to say that when you were up the hospital, I could have came up.
Ah,
you should have company. See,
I know, some grapes. Did they actually have bottles of Grey Goose, but well, with Vladiver?
Well, no, I don't know what the day in Stranraer, but it was, I woke up the next day, down the stair with the kids, four bowls of Cheerios slapped out. Five, actually, there's four kids, so five bowls of Cheerios, necked them. And then I woke, I was like, oh, that stomach's a bit tender. I was like, so it was getting a wee bit worse as the day goes on, so I had to go to my brother's for a party in Boxing Day. They always go to my brother's. And it was getting worse, but I was just putting it down to a bit of like fatulence, a wee bit of stomach cramps, and thinking that's all right. And my wife's like, you're being a bit dramatic, Kevin. Grow up, man up. I was like, Lynn, this is getting worse. So I went to bed that night and thought, really, really struggled to sleep. Next day, woke up.
Never shot the bed, did you?
No, I was fine. Calm down. I was fine. I woke up the next day and it was getting worse. And Stranraer doesn't really have it. Don't have a hospital. It's just a place you turn up well. I don't even know what it is. If you get ill, you get blue lighted and freeze. But by the time you get there, you could be dead. You know what I mean? It's no good. But my auntie works up there, so I went to her house, my auntie Maureen, and she said, Kevin, I think you've got appendicitis, you'll need to go to the hospital straight away. I said, I'm not going to that, it's not a hospital. I says, I'll drive up to Glasgow, so back up the road, and then I went to the Forth Valley, because that's the closest hospital to me, and that was it. Within 2 hours, I was in a gown, and I've operated first thing in the morning.
So you got an operation?
I got the appendix whacked out, and then obviously the next day was Old Firm, so I was really eager to see that. So I was like, all morning, I was like, doctor, can I get out here? So he let me out, jumped in the car, drove down, got the telly on, that was me, back to work in four or five days, right as rain. So that was my festivities, but it was good.
Well, that's good, but anyway, that takes us nicely to the end of the programme. It's been absolutely
to drag on a bit there.
I'm Mark Greedy, I'm great.
It was worth it.
Coming to you live from Emergency Ward 10, that was brilliant there. Thanks a lot. Sorry I'm asked. Anyway, here we go. We've got lots to get through. On the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground, we're going to speak about the transfer activity in the window. We're going to look at Rangers signings, Celtic signings, Kilmarnock, the comings and goings there, Ryan Gold coming in at Hibs. We'll look at the ins and outs of the transfer window. Is it a good thing? And we'll also touch on the William Hill Scottish Cup. The games are back on thick and fast this weekend, so we'll take a look at that and we'll get the lads' tips, who they think's going to emerge victorious on the final. I think it's May 25th at Hampden Park. Right, here we go. Kev, let's start off with one of your former clubs, Rangers. Jermaine Defoe and Stephen Davis. Not as young as they used to be, clearly. However, on paper, they look as though they could be two of the kind of players that Rangers need to get them over the line and go and win a title.
Aye, definitely. I think age means nothing, really. Age is only a number. For me, Jermaine Defoe, if you look at Jermaine Defoe, he looks a real well-oiled athlete. But Jermaine Defoe has now been signed to run about and do. Jermaine Defoe has been signed to put the ball in the net. And I'm pretty sure if Rangers are creating the chances that have been creating, especially in that last Old Firm game, the amount of chances they did create was incredible. So with Defoe's quality, he's going to be a great asset, and Stephen Davis will bring not just experience of playing down south and internationally, and the experience of having played with Rangers before, knowing what it takes to win leagues, win trophies. So the two signings, regardless of their age, fantastic signings. They've got the Rangers fans really on a high horse now, and whether it's enough to see them over the line, I don't know, but it'll certainly make it interesting.
What do you do, Paul, when you look at Morelos, 20 goals, be a top scorer, but you're clearly, Jermaine Defoe is not coming to Rangers to sit on the bench. Alfredo Morelos, I imagine, won't accept sitting on the bench. So if you're Steven Gerrard, are you looking right now at a system to accommodate the two of them starting together in some shape or form?
I think he's going to need it. I know he absolutely loves the boy, Morelos, so he will play. And Defoe's, as you said, he's here to play. Steve Davis I think actually he's probably, I don't want to compare him and Defoe, but I do believe that he's probably better. No better, but
he's going to bring more to Rangers than Defoe.
I think Rangers have probably missed that wee side of he'll control the games. Steve Davis and as a
good analysis.
I've been really went away and studied the game, and he's the type of player that will control the game, dictate the game, as Xavi Hernandez I like to call it. And no, I will, in all seriousness, I think he's an absolute great signing in the league.
Can I just say the Defoe and Davis signings, it's very similar to when the boy Slane signed for Clyde. I think it'll give the whole place a lift.
Well, my reign at Clyde was nothing short of pathetic. My last game, just to...
Who signed you there, Paul? Who was the gaffer?
Barry Ferguson.
Tell him the story about Bob Malcolm.
What was it?
Your first day.
No, no, I can't say that one. But my last game for Clyde, this is when I knew I had to retire. I get brought on the last 5 minutes to get a goal. And 1 minute into me coming on, I asked the referee how long to go. I was that knackered. My legs had gone. I was all over the gaff, and I realised I had to go, and that was the end. That was my last game, and that's probably one of my best memories of playing. When I look back at my career, that gives me the best buzz. Think of that.
I could just imagine Barry and Bob in the dressing room.
Oh my god, I got absolutely slaughtered, and rightly so. But my head was, and my belt, I was fat, a fat winger. It's never been seen. But it was one of the ones. Listen, it was time to go. Listen, what were we talking about? Clyde and Defoe and Davis, two wonderful signings.
Si, Morelos and Defoe, what happens with the pair of them?
I don't think it'll be a good partnership, if I'm honest. I don't think both of them are great link-up players. I've never seen Defoe playing in a two that he really links well. I think when he played in a two, his best time at Tottenham was maybe under Crouch, when Crouch would flick it on and he would get the knock-ons. I don't think Morelos is that same sort of player. I think Morelos is better up front on his own.
Yep. So can you see somewhere then where either of them comes in behind or comes off a kind of wide area?
Don't think either of them are players that come to feet. I really don't. I think Defoe loves to play on the shoulder. Yeah. I think Morelos is the same. So Gerrard's going to need to come up with something.
I think Morelos, there's a lot that boy needs to learn from. He's still very, very raw. Mm-hmm.
Defoe's the man to do that though, Kevin.
Defoe might be the one that, like, Morelos has been... For all the goals he scored, there's a lot of stupid stuff he's done with bookings and sending offs, and he's been banned. So I'm pretty sure he's no far away for another ban at some point. So Defoe will get in there, and he will start to maybe, if he starts banging the goals in and does what he does, Morelos will be hungry to get back in, and also he'll be eager to see how Defoe as an experienced player does it. Maybe pull him aside and say, look, you don't need to be doing all this stupid running in negative areas. Keep yourself fresh for this area. This is where you're dangerous. Because I know, I think Morelos, for as good as he is now, he will get better, but he's very raw. There's a lot of things he needs to learn about the game.
I think as well then that, if you know, having this, you know, 5 months kind of working together, minimum defending what happens longer term with Morelos and Defoe's loan, can you see this helping increase Morelos's transfer value as well, with having somebody like Defoe, providing Morelos is willing to go and learn off him? He really could go and go to another level, can't
he? Oh, he could, because what Morelos does in his career now is up to Alfredo Morelos. There's nobody else can decide how his career is going to go. So he either listens to what Steven Gerrard's telling him regarding the antics on the park, watch what Defoe does in training, because like Jermaine Defoe's got a football career that's spanning, 15 to 20 years at the top level, scoring, the fourth all-time score in the Premiership or something like that. It's insane. So if you kind of learn off somebody like him, who can you learn off? And if he can take some of the positive things that Jermaine Defoe can do and has done and put them into his own game, then you're going to get an all-round better player than Alfredo Morelos.
First game.
I don't know so much Friday night, Cowdenbeath.
First league game.
I just feel that to keep everything on an even keel and make sure that there's no huffiness going around the place, you need to find some way for the two. Because I don't think they've got the personalities where either of them are going to settle for on the bench. And if it really came to it, I think Defoe is going to start all day long ahead of Morelos. Just on that point, in your career, Kevin, did you have somebody, your younger career, that you learned from that took you another level? Or was there somebody there that, looking back, God, you think to yourself, I wish I'd taken more on board for that guy?
When I first went to Sunderland, through the youth ranks, I scored loads of goals. It was one thing I was good at, was scoring goals. And yet, when I had a professional career, I didn't score anywhere near the amount of goals I would like to have done. But that was because, this is my excuse anyway, guys. When I was younger, we had Niall Quinn in our first team. So the manager, Peter Reid, and the assistant, Bobby Sachs, and even Adrian Heath, to a point, they used to say, don't watch the game, just watch what Quinny does. Uh-huh. And that's all I used to do. I used to watch Quinny, and he would play a game that was totally different to the way I was playing. But we were both 6 foot plus. He was a proper target man. but there was more to him than being this big, tall target man and used to see the things. And so I then become this guy that wanted to be in the box all the time to the guy that was trying to get goals for everybody else. Uh-huh. So I stopped scoring as many goals as I'd like to have done and then ended up becoming this guy that was a bit selfish for everybody else. So for me, I was always just continually watching Niall Quinn. What did he do? How was he able to do this? And some Saturdays I would play in a game and or a reserve game and think, I was rubbish. And I would go to Quinny in the Monday and say, Quinny, I played on Saturday this season, I really struggled with this part of the game. And he says, right, come in the morning at 8 o'clock and I'll come in early and we'll do a wee bit.
Brilliant, good at him.
And I used to like watch him in head tennis, like, I'll talk about head tennis, right? And his touch was unbelievable. Like, he was probably the second best player at the club head tennis wise. But see, when he headed the ball, he could head the ball as hard as I could kick it. And I used to wonder, how is he able to head it? And I used to say to him, how do you head the ball so hard? And that was it. He got me in every morning. We just worked on this head and eventually I had a Lego head. Just used to be, the boy used to just bounce off your head and that was it. But that's how you learn. And if you don't ask the questions to these experienced people, and that's in any walk of life, how do you actually learn?
Did you always play in a partnership, big man, or did you ever play up on your own?
I think the only time I played up on was with Hearts. I loved it because I had Templeton, Scatchell and Stephen Elliott. The three of them were
around
me, so it was like that's how we were successful at that time, because I was like the main focal point. And when that ball was coming, say 30, 40 yards, a long ball, I could see these three guys, and I thought, right, if I kind of get it that way, I can get it that way. And they never got every second ball, but there was always somebody closer because that's the way we played. We worked on that system. But playing up front of my own, I didn't have the stamina for that. Sorry.
Running the channels,
I would only have been a 45-minute player. But don't get me wrong, in my younger years, I used to run channels for fun. You know, I used to bet the boys, and the boys, you think I'm slow? I said, I'll give you a race. One goal light, and I'll see who wins. And I used to beat a lot of them. But it took me about maybe 50 yards to get the legs of mine going. See, when they were going, it was rapid.
It's like this on our ferry, isn't it, mate? It takes a while to get going, but once it's full flow.
A bit like you're selling bed, innit?
Who have you been speaking to, Mrs.?
Piss more.
Sorry, on that, moving on. Rangers, if Steven Gerrard's allowed to bring in one more signing, somebody that he could say, look, go and push the boat out for me again, if he's speaking to his board, what position, what would they go for? Centre half?
See, to be fair as well, I think Defoe and Davis not coming to Rangers, it's just the market, Steven Gerrard as well. I don't think Defoe would be anywhere near Rangers if it wasn't for a guy like Gerrard that was in charge. Davis maybe would, because obviously he's tied with the club, but I think it'll be a centre half, won't it? I mean, I know they've got four there, but I don't think he's overly convinced with any of the four. So,
can I ask you a question, Si?
Yeah, go for it.
Steven Gerrard came to Rangers, and everybody's saying about his inexperience, this, that and the other. You're a fitter player now, playing. You are as well, Slaney, retired no long. Brendan Rodgers chaps your door. Stephen Gerrard chaps your door to come and sign. Who are you going to? Regardless of the two teams.
Going Slaney.
I don't know.
What reasons? Like, for me as a person, I'm looking at going to Stephen Gerrard because of him and what he did, his career, the stature of his, like... his professionalism, his captain, his leadership skills, the things he did in the European Cup final. I'm thinking, God, I would love to go and play for that guy. Mm-hmm. What could he do
it
for
me? It does matter, doesn't
it? You know what I mean? It's just a thought when you talk about Celtic's signings and Rangers signings. Like,
but also, Kev,
Celtic could have got Defoe.
Did they go on? Did Celtic want Defoe?
I'm just trying to get round this point of sometimes it's the manager.
But I also think if you're a young player as well and you're meeting both of them, you look at Brendan Rodgers' track record and improving your
players. Brendan's got. I'm not ruling out Brendan Rodgers here to say that he's the lesser of the two.
That's exactly the key point.
The points are.
It's Steven Gerrard's the player against Brendan Rodgers, who has got an unbelievable reputation. As a coach,
you cannot argue what Brendan Rodgers does. Look, many young players have come into Celtic and moved on for whatever millions, Wanyama, Van Dijk, you know what I mean? So that record's there. But
probably why Gerrard does get these older players in, because he knows he doesn't need to coach them. Because he's probably just at the start of his coaching career and he's maybe no great at that just now. But if he can get these guys in who know the game, he doesn't need to coach them, and they'll help the younger ones as well. So he'll not need to do that. Whereas Rodgers, on the other hand,
the coach Michael Beals,
he's meant to be really good at but I think Rodgers likes to work with younger players, and you can see that in the signings that Celtic have made. So I think it's a mark of where the two managers are at in their career, the signings that they've made.
You've
been brilliant.
It's a great link, actually. I'm glad we met last night to rehearse this. Celtic
signings. You've got your clays on this time.
Ollie Burke, Timothy Weir, and young Bio from the Ivory Coast. Signings that exactly fit the mould that we're talking about in terms of what Brendan Rodgers likes to do, because he said himself that the club are not looking at £4, £5, £6, £7, £8 million players are looking at this type. But when you have got, basically now you're down to a 4 month title race, mm-hmm. have you got time to concentrate on that and also develop these young boys?
Go on, Paul.
The only thing, see, the three players have signed, are they going to start for Celtic? I would rather Celtic are signing players to start. I know that the starting 11, you'd probably say a right back, maybe a centre half and a left midfielder that would come in and start, because the rest of the positions are very strong. But whether the signings they've signed, I'm not sure they're going to start. And I would rather Celtic are bringing positions where they need. They need a right back. They must get a right back. So I think they should concentrate that more than bringing in these younger players. I don't know. But the boy Ware, he's going to need to play. You're not coming for PSG to sit in Celtic's bench. So that that opens up a can of worms, Si. So I'm going to let
you... There's another one as well.
I don't think they would give any guarantees for an 18-year-old to play ahead of Hodgson. Edward.
There was another young Chelsea boy that came up to Celtic on loan.
Masonda,
yeah. And it was like, he must play surely. Yeah. It's that scenario again, these young players that come on loan. I was a young player at one point, gone on loan from a Premiership team to a Championship team, and you think, oh, he must play, but you don't play. Yeah. You're going there to get the experience, be part of that first team mentality, and that's what he's going for. PSG's looking like, if he can go to Celtic and maybe get, if you're out there in the season, 10, 15 games
off the bench,
come on and experience that situation of playing for a team that where something means, because reserve football, youth team football, doesn't matter if you win, lose or draw, nobody really cares, but that's what they're coming here for. Yeah. Whereas the young boy Oliver Burke, I can't honestly comment on, because I've never seen him playing. He's obviously sold two transfer moves for a lot of money, 30 million quid, so there's obviously something there. And it's probably based on potential, but he's maybe not been given the right platform in these moves to progress his potential, his rawness, what have you.
I think Burke starts right away.
I think Rodgers could be great.
I've played a few times for Scotland. Uh-huh. He's got pace to burn, yeah. And he's powerful. Mm-hmm.
And maybe
I can
this,
see him on the left.
So can I.
Maybe this move now for him coming to Celtic might be the move that ignites his career, gets people talking about Oliver Burke again rather than about Oliver Burke, the guy that went for 15 million and 15 million back the way. It's like, this is the guy that needs to get his career going, because he's a young Scottish guy. We need this guy to be playing. We need him for our World Cup qualification, national team, things like that. So this is a guy that, it's probably a good move for him at this time in his career, and hopefully it'll work out for all parties.
Listen, we don't know, but we're only going in paper now. Our ball's not been kicked, and obviously ultimately we'll get the answer in May. But at the moment, which club between Celtic and Rangers, who's completed the best business so far?
I would say Rangers. Business so far, Defoe and Davis, two top players, proven. I mean, Celtic's three signings are gambles for me. Yeah. You know, you don't know how they're going to work out, but Rangers two with Defoe and Davis for me.
I'd agree at the moment, all day long, Rangers.
Oh, definitely Rangers, 100%. Celtic's, like you say, nailed it in the head, Si. Potential. Just potential, whereas Rangers, although they've got proven, and they've still got to go out there and do it, there's more chance of them going out and doing it than maybe the three young boys at Celtic.
Celtic didn't sign a defender, so you'd be amazed, eh?
I think Burke will rip it up. But right back then, Si, they have been looking non-stop, and it's been a sort of bugbear of Brendan Rodgers that the club haven't managed to get a proper right back for him.
I think the last Old Firm game was a lot, not evident. The final straw, but evident that they're desperate to get right back in. Yeah. I mean, Kent had big lusted in the old Canadian band.
He was cracking, by the way, Kent.
I think Lustig's struggled, but he's played a lot of football, Lustig, you know.
To be fair, on a Bosman, 6 years ago?
No,
he's been a great player. They've got their value.
He's been a great signing for Celtic, but it's time now they get a new right back in. It's been a couple of years, I think, they've needed it, so they must get this window.
Any candidates you can think of?
No, that's what I was
you must have played against a few good right backs in your day, Slaney.
Who's the best you came up against? Toughest?
Best right back I came up against?
Or defender?
It's actually a position you don't like remember players from. Like the only right back I know, Mark Wilson. Was he a right back?
He was a right back.
That's the only.
He was like, hopeless at it, but he was a right back.
I know, but like, if somebody said to me, name five right backs, I don't think I could.
But now he's a right back.
Mark Wilson listens to this, he'll be delighted that you've mentioned this.
He's just going to stay in
clubs in Cumbernauld as well.
Mark Wilson, here's a story. See, when I was, this is a really nice, see, when I was injured at Celtic, he was absolutely amazing with me. He used to take me out and do a wee bit of running with me. It was absolutely amazing. So just a wee heads up, and he could actually get me on the radio for me saying that. So that's why I done it.
Yeah, what about his mate DL? Gordon DL was talking to you, mate. Did you hear it?
Well, we done a week together, me and Gordon, and I used to just nip his brain, and he was absolutely brilliant with me. The Man City stories and that, even though Man City were absolutely hopeless then. But I just, no, he was great with me, I must say. He was brilliant. And for somebody who, the stature he's got, he'd spent a lot of time with me talking and giving me a lot of help, so he was fantastic.
How was that 5-minute FaceTime we got with Yaya Touré for you?
No, it was brilliant, and I know. Yeah, I actually know Yaya
through his brother,
and I've met him before, and we got on great.
Your brother, Bobby Touré.
Bobby's cracking, and I tell you, me and Bobby probably get on better than any of them. I actually spend a lot of time with Bobby, and he's a lovely boy.
He's pals with Stanley's, you know.
That's how I got in touch with him. Stanley's a cracking, lovely boy as well, and Bobby as well. We spent New Year together, sharing the bells. At Aaliyah Casino, and Bobby get absolutely steaming.
A litre of bells.
I swear to God, he get steaming, Bobby, and he get papped out, and it was, we've no spoke, but he's a lovely boy. I don't know what's happening here.
What's Yaya to it? What does he think he is, a coach?
He actually said he really, he reminds me of a younger, see, when Guardiola first came to Barcelona, because he changed Yaya Touré's position, and he said he notices signs in me like that. But is there a real guy called Bobby Touré? Is there a real man called Bobby Touré? Yeah. Is there? Oh, brilliant.
I thought it was a made up guy.
I thought we were just going on there, brilliant.
Who's Stanley?
Is there any chance we could get Bobby on this?
You must have heard Stanley's story.
Who's Stanley?
Oh, what a man. We'll let him hear that in a way.
We'll let you hear the podcast.
Can we go for, seriously, and I know we all say, can we go for lunch today at the Fives? Because I swear to God, and this is in a series.
We're not running big jigs.
We're going to Greedy's.
I tell you one thing, Lee McCulloch, one of the nicest men in football that I came across in the head of tennis, the way he treated me was sheer respect.
And then
hates me since life. But I must say, what was I going to say there, Si? Since Christmas has came, I really felt low, and I couldn't get out of my bed. I just wanted to be running about yous all the time. I missed it so much, Kev.
I know.
And I kept thinking, what are they doing? What are yous all doing? And we
did
must
you expect the call to come back?
For one of yous. Aye, certainly one of yous. I was pestering Si a wee bit. He never really gave me much. I would love us this year, certainly, to make it a New Year's resolution, that us five certainly get maybe a few stars in as well. We could maybe meet for lunch every second week.
Do you want, well, I don't want to go that far, but we could take, we are due a team.
What's your thing with Paul Hartley and all that, and McCullough and Fat McFadden? That was absolutely brilliant, and I'm telling you, see, for a young coach to watch that, to get that insight, it was absolutely, and I'm for young coaches, make sure you go on and watch it, because McCullough and that seem as if they don't want to.
Sessions with James McFadden, Paul Hartley, and
that was honestly, was and I'm, was I, that was absolutely good. Amazing. I can't remember or ever that you could get that footage and see that insight to the top coaches, Kevin, and for me to see that was absolutely
amazing. What did you learn for it? What was the main point you learned for that?
Well, to be honest, listening to Paul Hartley and Lee McCulloch, as if management maybe know, for a young coach, don't just think you want to be a manager, actually go away and learn and keep on and working hard and learn, and then you'll know exactly what you want. So it was absolutely amazing.
Done, isn't it? We both
in
it.
I've done it.
The team day out there with Frank McAvery and Derek Ferguson.
Oh, imagine him and Frank.
Can we get a big star? Listen, I know they're big stars, but is there any? I know you know a lot of contacts, Mark. Could you get a big star for me to meet? I love celebrities.
I set you up with Hughlin Hayway, Bobby Touré. What do you want? Right, anyway, moving on.
That was 5 minutes of absolute joy.
There's been plenty other activity. Kilmarnock and Rangers have signed another couple of players on pre-contracts. Kevin, they've got Kamara from Dundee and Jones from Kilmarnock. A chance that both of them might actually happen this month if fees can be agreed. The Kilmarnock supporters appear to be very disappointed in Jordan Jones' reaction to signing in terms of some of the social media posts. What did you make of that? And again, Kilmarnock, another one of your former clubs, are passionate supporters there.
Aye, he's just a young guy that's obviously fulfilled a lifelong dream of signing for Glasgow Rangers, you know what I mean? So he didn't quite have that same feeling I had, but I had to drop that one in there, sorry, it was only a joke, guys. Anyway, no, young player, playing with Kilmarnock in a good side, and now he's done fantastic the last couple of seasons, and then obviously Rangers have come calling, he signed that pre-contract, he's got a wee bit giddy about it, you know yourself, Christmas Day, you wake up, you get yourself a new bike, you want to tell your mates you've got a new bike, he's just signed for Rangers, he just want to tell everybody he's signed for Rangers, so there's a wee bit of inexperience there with that situation, but now what his problem is, he's got his team that he's playing for, the team that he signed for, and basically the fans are a wee bit unsure whether Jordan Jones is going to be able to give his all for Kilmarnock for the next 6 months.
And Kilmarnock due to play Rangers later this month in the league game before the end of the window. So it's a midweek game at Rugby Park.
I would like to think Jordan Jones would be professional. I'm pretty sure he will be. But that game, whether he plays or doesn't play, I'm sure that's up to the choice of the manager. But
as a winger, Paul, Jordan Jones, you having him? He's a good player.
I think he is a good player. I don't think he's Rangers class. And I don't mean to be harsh. I think he's a really good player, but with the players Rangers are bringing in now, I don't think he's. Maybe he'll be good for as a squad player and coming in and out. I don't see him being a regular at Rangers. I don't think. He is. I don't think he's Rangers quality, and I don't mean in the last few seasons. I'm going back when I was growing up, the type of players Rangers had. That's what I'm basing it on. That's the players Rangers must bring in, and I don't think he is. Listen, he's a good player.
That said, though, you've got to carry two for every position.
No, you're right.
If you get him in a free. In May, or you end up, you need to pay £100,000 or something this month. He's got to be worth that.
No, surely. certainly, Mark. That's what I'm saying. He is a good player. And
just change your opinion because Mark said,
No. Listen,
stick to your guns.
No, he's a good player. Maybe he is a good squad player. I don't feel he will, be a Rangers regular. What's your thoughts?
I think if they could have got the boy Kent, I think Kent would have been a better sign.
He's brilliant.
Are they going to try and get Kent?
I suppose it's covered. If that doesn't happen longer term, then at least they're sorted.
Because Gresda there as well, and they played a lot of money for
like Gresda.
£2 million.
Gresda doesn't look up to it.
Gresda, whoever signed him for that should be sacked on the spot. That Gresda is absolutely hopeless.
What's he know, Denfie?
I don't know. I asked one of my mates, I said, is he a loan sign? And he told me that the amount they spent on him. My God, it looks powder puff. Pee hat. Grow up.
on the point of pre-contracts with likes of Kamara and Jones and other ones that have happened, Si, do you think, I think this is a good question to throw out there.
I know, I'm struggling with an answer here.
Should pre-contracts should be allowed, I get it, but should they be allowed within the same league? I think that's a good one to throw out there.
I think they should, I think, you know, as a player, if a team wants to get rid of you, they'd be quick enough to get rid of you. So if you've done well for a team, 6 months left on your contract, you know you've done well and you're going to go to bigger and better things, why should you not be able to do it 6 months earlier? Get your future sorted earlier. You know, it's not like you've been at that club and you've not done well for them. There's a reason why you're getting offers 6 months in advance. It's because you've went to that club
and you've done really well. You've nailed it in the head. Like, the whole point
I've done that a few times today, though, haven't I, Kev?
It's your experience. Your 2019 has been after a flyer.
Unbelievable.
It's just whether they can maintain it.
No, I mean, you have started.
We all know the answer to that, Kev.
The thing is, it's like, whatever fans think about their clubs. Clubs aren't the most loyal to players when it comes to the crunch.
I love that point.
You know what I mean? Because when the shit hits the fan, as they say, clubs are quick to drop players. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, when you're a player playing a football career for however long it may be, you look after you and only you. Because see, when football is all done and good, these clubs don't come looking after you once it's all gone by. Mm-hmm. So you look after whatever's right for you at that time in your career.
On command, your old club. Potential losing Jordan Jones this month, or at least they may well have a player that's a little bit unsettled if he has to stay to the end of the season. Greg Stewart away back to Birmingham at the moment, and Greg was possibly their most consistent player that in the first half of the season. How unsettling is that for Steve Clarke? Because as he said himself, he ain't got the funds to go out and replace these guys like for like.
No, for the quality of Greg Stewart. No. Greg Stewart, for me, he's made his name in Scottish football. It's what's got him the move to Birmingham in the first place. I just would like him to see his form for Aberdeen that he had initially, then his form at Kilmarnock, take that to Birmingham and start making a name for himself down there, because he's got that potential, he's got that quality to be a success at Birmingham. But for Kilmarnock to bring in a replacement for Greg Stewart, if you can't buy anybody, you try and bring in a loan. You can't bring in a loan that could replace Craig Stewart unless somebody appears from a foreign country somewhere and you get a bargain, which is very rare that happens. But for Steve Clarke to lose possibly the two, it'll be a big blow for how Kilmarnock's doing. But I'm pretty sure Steve Clarke will be on the lookout for somebody, and somebody might come in. Somebody's going to have to come in, because Craig Stewart, for me, know the goals he's scored, the assists and the all-round team play that he's producing for Kilmarnock, you know, that's one of the, he's one of the reasons why Kilmarnock are doing so well.
Si, you know Greg, inside out. You played with him at Dundee when he was absolutely flying, and you watched him develop from a part-time player into a guy now that probably would have a £1 million price tag in his head.
Yeah, great player. But I think, knowing Greg as well, he's a lovely guy, and he doesn't, he's a laid back. He's no one of them that'll live properly, and you wouldn't mind me saying this, because he does like, he likes a beer and he likes to have eat a bit of shite every now and again. I think at teams like Aberdeen and Birmingham, where he's asked to play in a structure, I think he struggles. I think at Aberdeen and Birmingham, he gets chucked out onto a wing and they expect Greg to run up and down the right wing for 90 minutes, and he wouldn't do that. You know that he's not a hard worker, he's just physically no built to run up and down the pitch for 90 minutes. I think he needs to be at a club, as he was at Dundee. He could cheat a wee bit. We used to say to him, stay on the right wing, we'll get the ball to you, go and do your stuff. I think at Kilmarnock it's the same. You know, he plays in the hole or up front, and he's allowed to kind of do what he wants. I think he needs to be at a club like that. I think he really does struggle when he needs to be a, not a team player per se, but as I say, a midfielder needs to work up and down the pitch for 90 minutes. I don't think he enjoys it, and I don't think he's particularly good at it. And I think that's why he's not played at Birmingham.
Well, on that, he himself is going to be out of contract, I think, in the summer. He's going to be available. You would imagine, wherever it may be, he's going to have some terrific options to look at.
Oh,
he's a big Rangers man as well, by the way. He's a big Rangers man.
Surprised Rangers haven't.
And he's not the oldest, is he? What is he, about 27?
27, 28.
Yeah. 27, 28.
So, do you think he's good
his
enough?
His good years are still to come.
On a free transfer, I would imagine every club up here, including, with all respect to everybody else, including your top two Rangers and Celtic, should be taking a look at somebody like that, Kevin.
I remember playing. Did he play for Caden Beath?
Caden Beath, mate, he did.
When I was at Airy playing, I used to think, geez, why is this boy playing here? You know, he's got one of the left footed that he just seems to like. He was the kind of player I would like to play with, because I know he would find you in the box. Uh-huh. But no, come the end of his contract, that boy will be, he'll have a headache of who he wants to go to.
Well, we'll see what happens with Greg Stewart, and for Kilmarnock's sake, we hope that they can do something to get him back.
Scott McDonald has just popped his head through the door.
I know. He's actually
he's hiding.
He just walked away when he's seen me.
He's three weeks late for your Christmas dinner.
By the way, is your restraining order? I think you're allowed to be this close to
him. I think that's why he's been grabbed by two guys and ripped away from me.
We're running slow on time. I've only got 8 minutes left. We're on the Open Goal podcast in association with our friends at William Hill. This is Keeping the Ball on the Ground. I'm Mark Guidi, delighted to say, first one of 2019. I've got our own Simon Ferry, and we're joined by the dynamic duo. We're actually going to come up with another name
for each pair.
I just like Hoddit and Doddit, but I don't want to be.
I think we're better than that.
You guys need to come up with
something. Better than that.
Because I think you guys, I think we're going to have these guys on regular guests.
I think we should start. Listen, what yous have done at Open Goal is incredible, and where yous have took it. But he's only daft, because when you get to a certain stage, and the only best coach, Sir Alex Ferguson, you're winning. You must then recruit again, Kevin, to take you the next level, and you brought us two in, and me and you are going to take care, and I actually believe we should have our own show, including you, Simon.
Mate, I'm glad you're involved
and getting us in, Kevin. And I don't know exactly what type of show it would
be. If it was an Alex Ferguson, this is probably like a Cleberson and a Jemba signing.
Aye, I would have been. And remember the boy Anderson they signed, who needed an oxygen mask because he was that knackered on the pitch? That would have been me.
Did you not need an oxygen mask when you on the pitch?
Oh, it was incredible. I don't forget time for it. We're playing Elgin for Clyde. Listen, this was a week before the 5 minutes when I asked how long ago. This is the week before this. We were up in Elgin on a Tuesday night, up in the bus, long 4 hours, whatever it was, up in the bus. So the game starts, and I start the game. 5 minutes into the game, Bob Malcolm and Barry Ferguson look here the pitch, and I am sitting on the pitch with my hands crossing each other saying, no more. That's five minutes into the game. So I came off the pitch and I'm saying,
did you even try to kid on it was a hammy? No.
No, but what I said was, I said to him, I said, I'm not well. I don't feel good at all. I said, I'm dying. So I went into the, this is, it's even better than this. So I get into the changing room and the Elgin doctor comes in. I'm sure it was Elgin. It was one of the teams up there. And the doctor comes in. He's like, what's up with me? I said, I can't believe it. I don't feel good. He's got the oxygen mask on me. He's like, you're not right. You're not well. You're going to hospital. It takes me, there's nothing wrong with me, Kevin. I just keep going. It takes me to hospital. I've got tubes hanging out me all sorts. With an oxygen mask on, there is absolutely nothing wrong with me. But at that time, my head, my, honestly, probably this, and I said, I don't know, my head wasn't in the right place at all. 5 minutes in, and you're. And then, to be honest, when looking back at my career, another highlight for me to be sitting in an oxygen mask with tubes hanging at my ass. But that was, it was bizarre to say the least. Anyway, we're there talking about what were we on there.
And by, so what was the medical diagnosis?
They actually said it was brilliant because I thought I'm going to get caught out here when I'm at the hospital. But they actually said Barry Ferguson, Bob Malcolm turned up at the hospital, and they said to him he was very low in sugar. Now, I don't know how, because on the way up I ate about a million Mars bars and wine gums. So I don't know, low in sugar. I don't know what came out in that hospital.
He get blue lighted. Don't I mean?
Blue lighted Elgin.
Up to Elgin for 5 minutes.
Did you have 2 litres of Grey Goose and 6 boxes of what was it? Cocoa Pops.
Bobby Tooney was there that night. I swear, Bobby Tooney was in the hospital that night. He was a doctor. What a laugh. I've got an audience as well. Now get it to, and come on, you two. And you get.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, anybody could just walk it. Right, we're into the last. Genuinely, it's a slaney here. I'm looking at the watch. There's 5 minutes to go. Right, we'll just need to skip right through to the William Hill Scottish Cup. We can touch on other things. It's back, top flight's back this weekend. Cowdenbeath, Rangers, Celtic, Airdrie, Hearts, Livingston, Kilmarnock, Forfar. I tell you what, I think it's going to be a cracker. Auchinleck, Talbot against Ayr. And also, riot. I think St Mirren against Alloa is a bit the taste as well. But let's touch on the old Ayrshire derby. Kevin, oh, your brother-in-law, Jamie Adams, is playing for Ayr United. I was down at Auchinleck a few days ago. They are absolutely buzzing for it down there, 3,100.
What is Auchinleck? What way Ayrshire do they sway towards? Killy or Ayr, or are they in between?
Geographically, they're about 11 miles from.
So, are they a mixture of Ayr fans and Kilmarnock fans?
Aye.
Oh, so, it could be a right taste of that.
Aye. It will be.
There must have been a few hot balls in that draw. that's Auchinleck.
It's live on BBC Saturday lunchtime. 3,100 packed into the Beechwood Stadium.
The Beechwood?
Is it Auchinleck?
Auchinleck fans, Ayr's kind of lost their way a wee bit.
They've lost what, 3 out of the last?
They've fit a wee slump.
So their goalie's hands have went numb as well. I've seen him the last.
Shanklin's not played, so he's been injured. So
is
I
he
think
moving away, Shanklin? I don't know.
Every chance.
No, it's
you
a big.
I think can.
No, I think Ayr will be too strong in the day, but it's one of those fixtures that. In Scottish football, people are going to be there's going to be. It'll get a bit. I would imagine if it's tight, it'll get a bit fiery towards the end. And if my brother-in-law's playing, he is just an animal when it comes to it. Loves tackling. Wakes up to loves tackling.
He actually gives you the ball so he can tackle you. Passes it to you and smashes you.
I remember we played Hearts versus St Johnson, and we were taking a throw in down the line. So I was backing into him, right. So. He's a big boy too, he's strong. So I was backing in, he kept pushing me, and I fell to the ground, right? What did he do? Just walked over top of my face. Had to go to the doctor and get stitches in my nose. So, Jamie, what are you doing? Never seen you. So it was no love lost, but no, in terms of the game, it'll be a right interesting fixture. And I'd like to see her obviously progress, but Auchinleck, it'll be a great financial day for them in terms of a full crowd capacity and a memory. Hopefully, they'll be looking to cause an upset because there's a good chance of a big draw in the next round.
Friday night, first of all starts Cowdenbeath v Rangers, culture shock, because you know the part for Defoe and the rest.
Have you been to Cowdenbeath?
I have, once for the racing.
There's no way Defoe's going to Cowdenbeath.
No, if I was Defoe, I would say I ain't coming to
I'll sign Stevie, but I'm not going to, what's it called?
Cowdenbeath.
Central Park.
Oh, it's horrible.
Stock car racing. And by the way, see Cowdenbeath, Gary Bowen's got them fit fit.
Aye.
Oh, I mean, he might
have been horrible to play against County.
Is there any, I mean, you'll know better than any of us, is there any chance this game on Friday night is going to be a contest, or is it just...
It will be, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It'll be tough. Rangers will not know what's hit them, because, as I say, Gary Bowen's teams are always fit, really, really fit. I think every time we play County, we do win, it's by the odd goal. Very good at set pieces, very well organised under Gary Bowen, and they are on it, honestly, every time.
St Mirren v Alloa, Kev, Jim Goodwin going back to Paisley, Oran Kearney, spotlights on him for the wrong reasons. They've lost Adam Hamill and a couple of players. I can see an upset.
Is it Alloa?
Alloa are a right decent steady side in that championship. So St Mirren, the struggles that they're having, will they focus on keeping players rested for their campaign in the top flight? Who knows? But there's no reason why Alloa can't cause upset, you know what I mean? But Jim Goodwin, fantastic job he's done there, and he'll relish coming back to St Mirren.
Can we just ask probably the most exciting upcoming coach in Scotland and Paul Slane what he thinks of the job that another young manager, Jim Goodwin's done at Alloa?
Absolutely brilliant, but to be honest with you, I'm not a great friend of Jim Goodwin. His style of play was shocking.
Ah, he was dirty, wasn't he?
Very dirty.
And so he talked about as a player, not as a manager.
I don't know why I've been into the playing.
He tried to kick me a few times, but I just
couldn't. You get anywhere near you.
No,
down you get, Jim.
Aye, Jim, sit down.
Because it's not acceptable.
Met him in Smith's the other day in the toy shop.
Aye, and I heard he was all over the
gaff. He was even chucking the toys out the pram then.
I heard he was all over the
gaff. I fancy it. Right, predictions. William Hill Scottish Cup. The final is here at Hampden Park on Saturday, May 25th.
As a free.
Kevin, I'll not be going to the final. It's my wedding anniversary Saturday. I've already told the wife that.
Brilliant.
Right, I'll celebrate it well this year.
What are you doing?
I don't know. Probably a wee goodies up at Coat Bridge.
20%
off.
Can I come?
No, my prediction would be it's between the Old Firm, Celtic or Rangers, just depending on how the draw goes. And it would actually be nice to see the two of them at Hampden on the 25th
of
May
in a
final.
Something would bring
Scottish football back to where it wants to be. That would be something special.
Kevin, you're right, but see, we're talking about the hot boys. They've got to start fixing the draw to get the two at the final. I'm sick of the finals. Celtic v this team, either great, and it's great for the club, and it's great, but they're not going to win. Kevin, they need the Old Firm in the final. Do you know what I'm saying?
Fix it, hot balls. Who are you going for? Kevin sat in the fence, didn't give us an answer. Who's going to win the William Hill Scottish Cup?
I don't know. It will be between Celtic and Rangers again. I don't think at this moment in time you can say who's going to win it.
You can say who's going to win it. You just give us the name of our team. You can say. There's nothing to stop.
As I said, Rangers were favourites for the league. I do not want a barrage of people going for me. So I will say Celtic will win the cup.
So Rangers for the league and it's Celtic. Sorry, Rangers for the league and Celtic for the William Hill Scottish Cup. Who are you going for? Who's going to win the William Hill Scottish Cup?
I'll go Hearts.
Going to go for the Jam Taps.
I think once they get everyone fit again, I think they can give a game on their day.
Absolutely.
Great shout. Brilliant. So we've got Kev who goes for the obvious, either Celtic or Rangers. We've got Slaney who goes for Celtic because he fancies Rangers for the league. And we've got Si who's right out of the box, is going for the old Jambos, Hearts, to win the William Hill Scottish Cup. It's been an absolute pleasure. With 2 minutes over time, 47 minutes. It's been the Open Goal Podcast in association with our friends at William Hill. Keep the ball on the ground. I'm Mark Guidi. It's been an absolute pleasure for you to join us. Thanks for listening, and I know you'll be back with us next week. Take care.